All right, my talkers, it is 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. We're 1 hour through the humidity hump day, as Lori likes to cue it up. And yeah, let's get into some more fun here on Lori and Julia. We got a lot done in that first hour.
Yeah, didn't we? We really did. And we're going to get even more done right now because we are going to, I should call this a big nugget because for your hump day, if... remember when this little mini series of a romance came about, and we were like, wow, that couple, Rachel Bilson Bill Hader, Rachel Bilson from the OC, Bill Hader. We were like, and he had just come out of a marriage with like two kids. And we were like, wow, we didn't see this couple coming.
Right. And she was with Hayden Christensen and they have a couple kids together. Yes. And she was on that great show that we loved in the South.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I loved it.
She was OC, and then she was something the, of Magnolias
yeah,
or
she
something
was the
Sweet
doc,
Magnolia.
No, she isn't in Sweet Magnolia. She's in another one, but it was so
Heart
good.
Of Dixie.
Heart of Dixie.
Heart of Dixie.
Which is so good on Netflix if you want to binge something.
Yes.
I love that show.
Yes,
yeah,
so I love Rachel. So anyway, she was on a, she has a podcast, and she had a guest, Mandy Moore, on, and she doesn't. She had alluded at the time because those two, they made their relationship official in January 2020 at the Golden Globes, and then they broke up by July of 2020. And she has periodically talked about what a hard breakup it was for her to get over.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he dumped her.
Yes, and it was there was nowhere to go and nothing to
and
do.
And she was his bridge.
Yes, okay.
From his marriage. And so... but
such an odd couple.
That's such an odd couple. But while the rest of us were just trying to cope with the ongoing pandemic, Rachel, I think, was suffering from the disappearing D syndrome because in another podcast, she was asked by her guest what she missed the most about her relationship. And she said his big D.
Oh, yeah. I laughed when I saw that this morning.
I saw that. I'm like, wow. Well, there she goes.
There you go. And
way to put it out there.
It came up again. And that's the biggest thing that she misses. And I loved that salty answer. No bad pun intended.
At least she's honest about it. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And maybe, she was demotized.
You're so
stigmatized.
You're so funny.
By him. And she realized that was really the good thing.
That was all there
thing.
Was.
That's
right.
All there was.
I was in the sexual aura. What do you call it, Lori?
BDE.
No, I know, but she was in...
orgasmic haze.
Orgasmic haze, and she needed to wake up. Yeah.
But yeah, I've never looked at Bill Hader and thought BDE.
Never.
Although as Stefan...
You never know.
You never know. And as Barry, but his character Barry is really quite good.
Anyway. Do you watch Barry?
I watched the first season of it, and then I never went back.
I've never gone back.
Yeah. How about this?
I've never gone back.
Let's revisit some 10-year-old gossip, Julia. It's 10 years ago, this week.
What? So the year was 2012.
That's right. And
when life was life.
This actress, this young actress's life was turned upside down overnight. She became one of the most despised people in Hollywood, even though the person that she got caught making out with was 19 years older and married. And Kristen was in a relationship with Robert Pattinson. Kristen Stewart was busted
by that
the paparazzi with, and she was making out with
in the parking lot of a grocery store with the director from the movie of Snow White or something.
That's correct, Julia. The Huntsman.
The Huntsman, which is a great movie, by
great
the way.
Movie.
Great movie. Oh, she was.
She after
that
Snow
traumatized
White,
her.
After Snow White and the Huntsman was released in 2012, she was caught on camera making out with Rupert Sanders, the director of the movie. Overnight, she became vilified. The fact that, he was the one who was married.
He was the
he
one.
He was 19 years
right.
older. Even President Trump, who wasn't president at the time, he tweeted about it like 10 times and called her a scarlet woman.
Really?
And Twilight fans who loved her came after her for cheating on Robert Pattinson. The pictures were, they were like really up on like a reservoir.
They were.
In a canyon or something.
But there was ones of her in the grocery store parking lot earlier in the day or something.
And a paparazzi photographer who'd been tipped to follow Kristen trailed her and the married father of two to a secret rendezvous in the Hollywood Hills. According to the photographer, she'd been headed home from the gym when she got a call, changed course, arrived at a deserted building. Then she met him and then they'd been making out, making out. And just in 2019, Kristen Stewart finally talked about it on a show. And she said she was on the Howard Stern show.
Okay.
And she told Howard, he said, why didn't you ever say that, this was just,
right.
You guys made it, you never screwed that guy.
Right.
And she said, well, who's going to believe me? It didn't matter. It looked like, you make out with a dude in public. It definitely looks like you must have had sex. And so I just thought, I'm not even going to say anything. But that was just like,
when you look back on it, she was
treated horribly.
But if in her age, and I think of Monica Lewinsky, how horribly she was treated.
But
I mean, women are villainized.
Rupert Sanders' wife went on to divorce him, and she is married to that machine guy or the music guy.
Who she's crazy for. And they got married on the beach, and that was
Liberty something, her name is. So she got, who knows what happened to Rupert Sanders. Kristen Stewart is engaged to a screenwriter. Her name is Dylan Meyer. And so I just thought, it's interesting how all the vilification landed on her, on the woman.
It always is, Lori.
Yeah, I just am revisiting it so we don't make this mistake again. And it happened in August, and we were just like, oh my. And I can't remember, what we talked about it, but I know we talked about
of
it because we were looking at it every which way.
From Sparkles to this.
Yes.
Robert Pattinson to this.
Right. And they, they split up after this fling. And then they reconciled and got back together. And then they called it quits the following year.
Yeah. Boy, they were, I was in somewhere in the stuff today. There's something about how Taylor Swift wanted to have a role in Twilight, like the third one or something. Mm-hmm. She wanted to partner it. And asked the director, and he's like, you would take away, she wanted to be an extra.
Yeah.
Because she was a big Twilight person, Twihard or whatever we called them.
Yeah.
And he's like, you would have taken away so much from it. But now I'm thinking, why wouldn't I have done that? I would have been able to meet Taylor Swift, kind of thing.
Right.
But he said it would have been too much. I mean, those Twilight fans.
Oh, all the hate was directed to Kristen Stewart. Nothing towards Rupert, the married father of two, and almost 20 years older than his leading lady.
Oh, that I think of how horrible as a 19-year-old that must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know how old she was in it, but he was 20 years basically older than
I mean,
she
that's
was.
Just.
And, his wife, it ended that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The photos.
And she was
just making out. They really, really looked like they couldn't get in. It was kind of, they were kind of hot pictures of each other. You can tell they're in the orgasmic haze of the making the movie.
Which is a good movie again.
It is a good movie.
Snow White and the Huntsman. We loved it.
Yeah, we did. All right, listen, we'll be right back with Random Thoughts.
I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? Sometimes I wonder what would happen if.
And now. Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right. That is all it is. All right. True or false? Do limes float?
I'm going to say that based on my experience in Capri and going to pretty, pretty, pretty restaurants and lemons are everywhere, they put lemons in vases and bowls and they float.
But I asked you if limes.
They float and limes sink.
Limes do.
Mm-hmm. But lemons float.
Lemons
float. So everywhere you go in Capri, people have bowls of lemons and they're floating. Floating in vases.
Floating
in. It's so pretty. It's like, that's like almost a flower.
The lemon, because isn't that in all of their dishware, the blue
lemons.
You have
lemons.
Your little Via Bargini platter in your house.
Lemons.
Small lemons.
So I only know that from practical experience setting foot on the Isle of Capri after Casey threw up nonstop on the hovercraft for a straight half hour. And a nice little old lady gave him a pretty scarf and a bag to throw up in.
That's lovely.
This woman was in her 90s.
Right. Was it choppy? Was the water choppy? Is that what you took from the cruise ship to get to Capri?
Yes.
Capri.
Yes. It was choppy and mm-hmm. we were underneath.
Yes.
Where you feel everything more. And Casey was positively green. And I'm trying not to laugh. You know, I'm not the most sympathetic woman to be traveling mm-hmm. with because I'm just like, oh, stop that. He's like, and then the lady next to me hands me a little lace scarf and a paper bag.
That's really sweet.
Wasn't that sweet?
That was really thoughtful of her.
And that she chattered to me in Italian and I spoke back in my pidgin Spanish, Italian, English.
And French and Russian, as one does. Okay, so did you guys read in the paper, I think it might have been over the weekend, that there's a huge amount of money that's going to the IRS for auditing because they're so behind in their auditing. Mm-hmm. And a big chunk of money from whatever was signed last week or something is going to auditing again because they've been so understaffed. Mm-hmm. Well, in 1987, when the IRS started making people list their kids' social security numbers, because you always, if you listed your kids as dependents before that, you never had to list their social security number.
Right. You could just say 10 kids and take the deduction.
Exactly.
Yeah, good way to cheat.
Right. And so in 87, when they decided to cut down in fraud, suddenly the very next year in tax returns, 7 million children who were claimed the year before suddenly disappeared.
Disappeared, yeah. I believe it. That was crazy. That was unbelievable.
I just thought that was kind of funny. Like, uh-huh. That's a lot. We got to give a big shout out to Mackenzie Scott, who is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who is a billionaire philanthropist and has just vowed to give away almost all of her $40 billion.
She makes these other billionaires look like petty,
she
cheap
really does.
People. She's you know, a, she knows how to give away
money. She knows
money.
How to give. So yesterday, Junior Achievement North, which is a St. Paul-based education services out of Minnesota, which serves 80,000 students in Minnesota, North Dakota, Western Wisconsin. And she said, this is for you. And when she gives donations to these nonprofits, she says, do with it what you want. I don't need you.
How much did she give them?
She gave them $1.9
million. Oh my
this
gosh.
Is
that's
the largest. Wow. Yes, this is the largest donation they've ever got in the history of Junior Achievement. And it's like huge.
The impact
it'll
have.
The impact it's going to have.
She's given a lot of money to Minnesota
she
charities.
She really has.
I mean, I want to say she's like at $50 million or something
really,
like that.
She really has.
And no strings attached. And she's got her whole team of people that vet the who
More
they give money to.
More than $78 million she's
$78
given. In the, what, 3 or 4 years since mm-hmm. they've been divorced mm-hmm. To Minnesota nonprofits. Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities, Habitat for Humanity, the Boys and Girls Club affiliates, mm-hmm. your favorite, St. Paul-based Planned Parenthood, north of the Northern Central States. I mean,
good. I love her.
I think it's just
she could have a movie.
That would be a great
her
movie.
Story.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you and I both have Hyundais. So this is kind of making the national news right now about how. There's a TikToker who decided to release a video on the easiest cars to break into are a Hyundai and a Kia. Not a Kia, a Kia.
Kia. Kias and Hyundai.
Yes, yep. Thank you. So here's a couple things you need to know about. If you have a key, you should be worried for a Kia or a Hyundai. But if you have a start button, it's not going to affect you. So depending on what year your cars are. But these are just some things because... Really?
What did the TikToker do? Show people how to hot wire?
Hot water using
hot
nothing.
Wire.
Hot, yes.
Hot wire, not hot water.
The people whose cars were stolen were in hot water.
Yeah, right.
So they are, here's the things that, just do this. If you have one of those cars, okay. Use an anti-theft steering wheel lock. Lock your doors. Take your key fobs with you. Only nearly a third of all auto thefts have resulted from keys being left in the vehicle.
What?
Close your windows, park in well-lit areas, install an audible alarm system. But what you need, because you should immediately call 911, you need these things. And just put it on your phone.
Okay.
The year, the make, the model, the color of your vehicle, and your VIN number, which is on your dash. Everyone knows their VIN number for mm-hmm. Insurance reasons. Mm-hmm. Your vehicle identification number. Just keep those four things on your phone. so you can call the police because your car will no longer be there and you won't have your insurance card, which you keep in your car to call them. But you should also call your insurance company within 24 hours of your vehicle being stolen.
Well, I think they call people call right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been getting jacked left and right. It's been crazy.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
It's really,
that fobs, damn TikToker.
Yeah, the fobs make it almost virtually impossible for you to leave your key in your car.
Right, so this
unless
is true.
Right. Yeah, unless you're physically locking the door when you get out for whatever reason, it's almost impossible to do that.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's been all over headlines the last like 3 months.
Yeah, it has. So please be safe. And your VIN number, you would be stranded. Nowhere, and you would know you'd have to go home to get your VIN number. So this allows you to, you know, do something
proactively right away.
Proactively,
plus,
right.
Plus, I have the VIN number. If you have the app for your insurance company on your phone too, that's how I access my VIN. Is just open up my insurance app and it's on your ID card or whatever, your digital ID card. So
yeah. See, you're one step ahead of us. We're still on paper.
I'm just trying to be like you guys.
Yeah, we're such paper mamas.
We really are. Now, Lori, tell me if you think this is true or false. The legging effect.
Oh, you know how I feel about leggings and lazy stomachs. I mean, it's made a whole generation of women's. They have terrible core and they don't have good stomach muscles because people have gotten
lazy-waisted today.
Lazy-waisted. Yes, so that's the legging effect.
The designer surgery right now, because of the ultra-tight legging trends, which is called a labiaplasty.
A labiaplasty? Yes. That's like for your lips.
I know.
Your vagina lips.
People are wearing this because of this is true. The surgeries are on the rise. There's an 80% increase over 2021.
Stop it, people.
They have reasons. Yeah.
Unless, you know, things are looking
things are crazy.
Like a
don't
bat
do that.
Down there.
No, I know. Don't. A bat. I saw a bat last night.
A bat cave?
No,
don't even that. Stop.
Yeah, stop it. You're stop. The one who brought it up.
I know.
Yeah, trying to pass it up.
Yeah, you started a labiaplasty. We would still be in the unknown. Josh and I and all the people that you've just now alerted to.
That might be the number one title contender right now for the hour number two podcast.
The labiaplasty.
Just spell it right, hon.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I have some friends.
Uh-huh.
And
they've done this?
No. But their name rhymes with labia, so I call them the labias.
I bet you do. I bet you do. I'm sure you never is a chance to remind them about what their name rhymes with.
This would have been good for Monday, for Sex Monday.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so Lake Mead, we've been talking about. It's in Nevada. It is...
The drought.
It's the drought is affecting this lake, but they even found more skeletal remains, Lori.
Yeah, there are probably up to 5 or 6 bodies.
They
by now.
Are. It's the third time since May, but they'd have found some before. I mean,
and always with barrels and concrete nearby because if that is something,
people owed money in Vegas. I think were taken there and just dropped in.
Yep.
Yeah. More than that. Mm. More than that. But to get the cement bracelet at the bottom of the lake treatment.
The cement bracelet. Yeah, you had to do more than just owe money, you think?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so Better Call Saul ended its glorious 6th season.
Yes.
Run on AMC Monday night. And the ratings were the highest since 2018. 1.7 million people tuned in to see what happened to Saul, a.k.a. Jimmy, a.k.a. Gene, Kim, and the rest of the characters. And it was Emmy worthy from start to end. And, Bob Odenkirk was just spectacular as Saul. And it just was such a perfect
ending.
Perfect how they did that whole story. And, you know, it's too hard to, you know, describe it to you if you haven't watched it, but just know that Better Call Saul, there's now going to be arguments if Better Call Saul, the prequel to Breaking Bad, is not a little bit better than Breaking Bad. To me, they just were two of the best shows I've ever watched. So
better than Sons of Anarchy, which you love.
Yeah. I mean, you know, better.
I haven't watched it, so I'll go in. And
it's just such an epic show. And Bob Odenkirk was on with, it was so strange. So Al Franken filled in for Jimmy Kimmel last night.
I saw.
Very
I thought he was nervous.
He was very nervous.
Yeah, I saw the beginning of it.
And I think he talked about that he was nervous. Yeah. And Bob Odenkirk gave an interview, and I want to say it was with Howard, where he talked about how miserable Al Franken made his life when he was a writer on SNL. Because Al Franken was a star.
Right.
And he... And Bob Odenkirk.
I never
Odenkirk,
knew Bob Odenkirk, first of all, was a writer on SNL.
Oh, yeah. He famously did not get along with Lorne Michaels. He was, you know, a young guy. And I
did not even know this. Okay.
He came to his career late in life as an actor.
Okay.
We really met him for the first time. Yeah, we met him for the first time in Breaking Bad.
So our movie premiere is going to be successful.
Right. He was like 45 when Breaking Bad came out, because he just turned 60. So he was a writer, and, you know, he had a very funny sketch comedy show. But anyway, he didn't really like Al Franken. So it was interesting that Al talked about how Al and his whole family were invited, which there were four of them, to watch the finale with the Breaking Bad cast on Monday night, because Bob was going to be on the show.
Sure. Okay.
And his funniest joke, I thought, was they were like, okay, everybody that's worked on this show has either worked on this show for 6 years, or they worked on Breaking Bad and 15 years. So we're with all these people watching their show come to an end. And my son, when we left, we were like, yeah, that'd be like us, you know, showing up at the Vikings in the locker room at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys, we did it. Shit. You know, I mean, he just was like, I don't know what we were even doing there.
Right. Well,
so
that's
that was
funny.
Kind of a cute moment. But yeah, he definitely seemed nervous. And, you know, Bob Odenkirk, though, obviously there's no more bad blood between happened back then for him to agree to be a guest. And then Rhea Seehorn came out, who played Kim Wexler. And that was really, you know...
I know nothing about the show, but I know he's an attorney.
Yeah.
I love Rhea Seehorn. She was the MVP of that show, in my opinion. She did phenomenal.
In this season, that in the car rental or whatever, going to the airport. I mean, she's just incredible. Incredible.
She showed a lot of range, too, and I loved it.
Yes, very good. She did show a lot of range. So, anyway, it was a great, I'm glad they had, you know, good ratings and all of that. The View, for the second year in a row, is the most watched daytime talk show across network and syndication. Doing very well. 2.4 million, Julia.
How?
They came ahead of Dr. Phil, and then Live with Kelly and Ryan is third. And the Today, third hour, follows that. GMA3, Today with Hoda, The Talk, Ellen, Kelly Clarkson. Those are the top rated. But in adults 25 to 54, Live with Kelly and Ryan.
Yeah.
Is the...
I believe it.
You know.
Yeah, I totally believe it.
That they're the ones that come in first. And but anyway, so that's all good news for the view. They're probably very excited.
Okay. You haven't been to the cabin in a while, but one of the games that I force people to play is Password.
Yeah, I like Password.
I like Password a lot. And you can get the app on your phone, and it's super fun to play. And I have, you know, the old Password little things with the little nylon sheet that you put it in, and all of a sudden the word appears,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's something I love to play. But tonight, my boyfriend is going to be on Password at NBC at 9 o'clock. Good old Martin Short.
Oh, is he on tonight?
Yeah, so I think he would be a lot of fun to watch. I love him. And I wish I wanted to watch, you know, that Murders in the Building. You and I just can't do it.
I haven't even tried it.
I tried one. I tried two.
I haven't even tried it. So that's just laziness on my part in seeking out other, you know, shows that just have a priority.
It's just laziness.
Okay. It is laziness because you got to... On a streaming thing? I mean, yeah. I guess I'm kind of impartial to... I don't know. I like DVRing crap.
So do I, and that's
like I've already DVR'd HBO on Sunday night for House of Dragons.
Is it starting this Sunday?
It's starting this Sunday.
Oh, I didn't know. All right. Thank you for reminding me.
Is this
one
of those things that's available on HBO Max too?
It will be like the next day.
Yes. Okay, cool.
It will be the next day. Julie, I always say to Casey, I need to be current on everything.
Yeah.
That's how I, you know, I just say I've got to be current on everything and none of this next day after. But we've had HBO for years since Sex and the City and Sopranos. Yeah,
really? Okay, so here's the new show that Lori and I are both excited about, and it's dropping this Friday night on Apple Plus, and it's called Bad Sisters.
Already, I love the title.
And here, this is from Neil Justin today. In the Star Tribune, instead of pining for another season of Big Little Lies, check out the latest from the tireless Sharon Horgan. She wrote the TV show Divorce.
Yes, that's Catastrophe. She's from Catastrophe. Yes. I love her.
So in addition to being the lead writer, she stars as one of the five siblings whose sarcastic wits are only topped by their love for one another.
And one of the sisters plays Maude's mom in Sex Education.
You're right.
Kind of the rough-looking sister.
And what they're willing to do when one of them gets trapped in an abusive marriage. Mm. It's much a funnier version than How to Get Away with Murdering an Evil Spouse. It's supposed to be very...
The trailer looks so fantastic.
It looks so good. So that is called Bad Sisters.
Sisters on Apple Plus.
I'm kind of... That one looked good.
That one really looked good to me, too.
I know it. We love our TV. Mm-hmm. We love our TV.
I know Casey and I kind of got sucked into a show your mom watched like 6 months ago, and I can't even believe she
watched
it.
Tell me what it's called.
Slow Horses. And it's based on this English writer, this guy
who
wrote a book. It's, I think, you have to Google it. It's just like, it reminds me of The Bodyguard. Remember that show we watched with Richard Madden?
Oh, so is it
it's six episodes. Okay. Gary Oldman is in it. Kristen Scott Thomas is in it.
They have season one and two already.
Okay. And it is like
Spy fiction.
So I am kind of partial to spy and procedural. It's Apple Plus. I'm telling you, Apple Plus right now would be the one streaming service if you're thinking of adding something or just jumping on. You know, and just having it for 3 months, there are so many shows. Severance, For All Mankind. You know, you just told us we've got
Bad Sisters.
And there's really a lot. The morning shows on. There's a lot. Whereas when Apple Plus first came out,
there was nothing.
There was like five shows.
Right.
It was real, real slow. But they've got the money behind them and the stuff is starting to
happen.
But yeah, Slow Horses, it's just fascinating because it is spy, it's MI5 and you know, kind of a rogue unit within it, and
I love backstabbing. Kristen Scott Thomas. We haven't seen her in anything in so long.
She is playing
I like this.
You'd like it. But it reminded Casey and I of like The Bodyguard, which was
I don't know,
that was out a couple years ago, and Richard Madden, I think, went on to take some movie roles or something. So,
all right, I'm looking forward to that.
Meredith Marks, she did an interview.
Tell everyone who she is.
She's on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and she was asked about Jen Shah, and she said...
Who has been indicted.
Indicted.
And pleaded guilty.
She's going to be sentenced in November. Yep. She said, whether you're guilty or not, it's so easy to say something that could be spun to incriminate you. I think it was really gutsy. She stated, I don't think I could have under those circumstances. But I think they were done filming before the final hammer came down. So it's not going to matter whatever she said on there because they already had her dead to rights on everything. So
I would agree with that 100%.
I think it's risky of Meredith Marks to keep putting so many injectables in her face. She is starting to look like a Kardashian.
She's a Kardashian meets Lea Michele from Glee meets
Nadia Suleiman.
Meets the Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
People really change their looks completely.
Because they're watching themselves on TV, and I don't know, I guess you just get out the magnifying glass and you're not happy with your look, and then you decide you're not going to look anything like what you used to look like.
Oh.
I mean, even Teresa Giudice, you know, I've seen some clips going around, supposedly she's put down an ultimatum with Bravo that either she goes or Melissa and George and Joe go, you know, having this fight. I don't know if that's true or not. About the ultimatum, but there's been a lot of back and forth online and people are sharing clips. Even Teresa's face has changed so completely.
Oh.
She's had a couple new nose jobs. Her boobs, her lips have gotten so big. The injectables, the hair thing. I mean, you just really become a more extreme version of yourself, I guess. And, you know, we haven't been on TV, so we don't know what that TV effect is. But man, oh man.
I had an HD picture done the other day, and I just thought, wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Can you please back up? There's a lot there. It's I'm so grateful that, I mean, can you imagine being on TV like that and always?
But they really all changed their face quite a bit from the first to second season.
Yeah. It really is gross.
It's, well, we don't know the body dysmorphia that you have by looking at yourself. And then just always, you know, I think you have to have a lot of, you know, confidence about look at me to be on a reality show in the first place.
100%.
Because that is the one thing I'm nervous about, our, you know, film festival film that we have to make. One time, I think we read, Josh, that for 60 minutes of a reality show, that it takes like
80 hours of filming per hour.
Something really, really horrifying.
For a scene or what are we talking about?
For an hour. An hour. So it would take 80 hours of filming to make 1 hour of content.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt
that. Our director is going to be brilliant. Vanessa's going to be brilliant. She's going to guide us.
I'm most excited for your guys' film.
Well, that's because
the pressure's on.
The most of the train wreck will be us. We know. Right. We know our role around here. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Hollywood Speak.
So what are you trying to say?
What is the meaning of this?
All right. What is the meaning of this? So, Julia.
Yes, dear.
Here's the thing.
All
right. Here's the statement.
Here's the story.
Talk about last minute. People have lives and commitments. They can't just drop everything because this couple wants them to. Why couldn't they have just done this in L.A.? There's so many beautiful places to stay. Everyone wants to party with them, but geez, we got to drop everything at the last minute and travel across country.
I know what this is about.
I do too.
What is it?
Going to the Atlanta to the island where the house is for Ben and Jen.
Yeah.
You know what? I think...
because remember, they just only got married a month ago, so that was last minute. So you know no one's had this date on their calendar.
Right.
It's literally the prime of August.
Yeah,
the prime of August. Yeah,
I understand where they're coming from.
So people are not. I think people with lives and commitments should just go about their lives and commitments
100%.
And not worry about going to Savannah to the island. It's actually an hour away from Savannah.
Oh, this is planes, trains, and automobiles. That's too much work.
It really is. Yep. They could have had a fancy party in Bel Air that everyone could have gone to.
Could have, should have.
But maybe it's being sponsored. Or they're getting a movie, or I don't even know.
No, to me, it's so J-Lo. And I am going to, you know, read on the J-Lo newsletter. You know, I subscribe to that. Because
you gave them your email.
Yeah.
The one email that someone has of you.
Yeah, but it is someone that has it. But I mean, it is so J-Lo in the sense, no, I don't want a big wedding. Well, I wouldn't either. It's your fourth, honey.
Yeah.
And then let's just run away to Vegas and then we'll just have a party. Oh, let's have it at your plantation mansion, you know, which, even that. And let's have it in August.
Okay.
This August. And we'll just have everyone come, and whoever can come.
My goodness.
And it's your week with the kids, and it doesn't need to be any big deal, but I am getting a dress from, you know, Valentino.
You know, it's just
so J-Lo.
It's so me. And like, she needs a lot of attention.
Yeah. I know.
Ugh.
Woo. Yeah.
I'm being the newbie to all of this.
You are, Josh?
Yes,
are you the newbie?
I am, yeah. So Page Six posted this article the other day, and I read it. The first thing I read was, J-Lo wants all the spotlight to be on her.
Well,
now I'm kind of familiar with who's kind of, I guess, wearing the pants in this whole thing.
Well, I don't know about that. I do think that their friends are annoyed that they're expected to fly across country from L.A., where most of them live. It might be easier for the East Coast friend. For this thing, when it wasn't planned in advance.
But does Ben want the spotlight that as bad as she does? I don't know if he does or not.
I don't know either. He's going to have a hard time because he had a hard time with the paparazzi. Yeah,
he doesn't like the cigarette photos.
This is going to be brutal.
All right, I'm going to show you a picture, Julia. We didn't post it. We decided it wasn't safe for work, but Kid Cudi is on the cover. Kid Cudi, thank you, is on the cover. He's a rapper. He does collabs.
I know the name.
He's great, but he's on the cover of Esquire magazine wearing nothing but a sock.
He's a good-looking guy.
He's a real good-looking guy. He is naked, wearing a sock, taking a page from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But he is so good in this interview.
Okay, tell me.
He's been publicly feuding with Kanye West over the last year. I think Kanye does.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't? I know it. Here's what he said, told Esquire. He was asked about Kanye. And they had a falling out. Kanye cut Kid from his Donda 2 album over his friendship with Pete Davidson. Okay?
Yeah.
Because Pete was at the time dating Kim Kardashian. Yeah. And here's what he said. I'm not one of your kids. I'm not Kim. It don't matter if I'm friends with Kim, with Pete or not friends with Pete. None of this bleep had anything to do with me. If you can't be a grown man and deal with the fact that you lost your woman, that's not my bleeping problem. You need to own up to your bleep like every man in this life has. I've lost women too, and I've had to own up to it. I don't need that in my life. I don't need it.
I love it.
I love it.
Very bold, but you want to know what?
Truer words were never spoken.
He's the biggest baby we've ever met.
Yeah.
He's the biggest adult baby that we know, except for one other person, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
He's a big adult baby.
And then Kid went on to say, do you know how it feels to wake up one day, look at your social media, and you're trending because someone's talking some bleep about you, and then you got this person, troll, sending you messages on Instagram and Twitter? That bleep pissed me off. Then he had the power to bleep with me that week. Then he used his power to bleep with me. That pissed me off. You bleeping with my mental health now, bro.
Well, you know, this is a very interesting thing. So,
and it's going to take a bleeping miracle for me and that man to be friends. Again, I don't see it happening. He's going to have to become a monk.
I absolutely so love that he said this because... Same. Bottom line is, Pete Davidson, think of what he's put him through.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and he was going back to trauma therapy or something. I mean, the kid's dad died in 9/11. He was a firefighter in the towers.
He's been the most out loud person on SNL about his...
mental illness.
And he even did a very funny skit about a year before he started dating Kim, or maybe 2 years, where he, like, begged Kanye to get some help.
Yeah, because he struggles with it himself.
Yeah.
And so for in everything Kanye puts these people through, these individual targets, he's such an awful person. And I don't care if he's struggling with mental illness. He's awful.
Yeah,
he's had every opportunity to make good.
Yeah.
And he just can't. He's an awful narcissistic baby.
Preach
he should
it,
just
Julia.
Wear a diaper around him. I mean, he bugs me so much.
Okay, I'm a fan of you reading Kanye the Right As, and now I'm a fan of Kid. How do I say his name?
Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi. Cudi, like Cudi Sark.
Cudi Shark.
Cudi Sark.
Is it Sark? I thought it was Cudi Shark.
It's Cudi Sark, the whiskey. It, or whatever.
His last name is Scott Miscudi, and he's known as Kid Cudi.
Got it. Thank you for that. Anyway, I'm a fan after looking at this cover.
When someone gave us,
and I'm a fan
covers?
After someone being so frank and talking about beef. I love it.
Plus, their song from 2011, Erase Me, is one of my favorite all-time songs. It's so good. So,
and,
kind of a bummer, but I love that, the fact that he spoke out with this. So.
People cannot abuse people like this. And social media is wicked. And there's so many people out there. This man is dangerous.
Well, we posted his dangerous bags of Yeezy Gap clothing on our show page today.
I hope no one went. I wish people would just stop.
Those slides are so bad.
Well, and you know what? Selling his Yeezy Gap t-shirts out of big trash bags is a metaphor for the fact that these buying this stuff is a load of trash. It's like,
but he's doing it as a tribute to the homeless.
It's so gross.
Go give them your stuff then.
Yeah.
Go give the homeless people money because you're a billionaire, according to the Forbes.
Yeah.
I hate him.
It's the
stronger words. I know.
People are really not happy. I mean, he's not happy about selling clothes out of trash bags, saying that you're inspired by homeless. People
it's
are like,
such a gross.
You see the plight of the homeless, see that these are humans who are suffering, not artsy, edgy people that you admire. It's so,
It's just so
It makes you want to cover it. It's cringeworthy.
And if anyone was friends or married to this person, you would just say, you can't come home anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You're done.
But I mean, I would never buy a 300 sweater out of a trash bag on the middle of a Gap floor after people are throwing things out on the floor because they're trying to find their size.
It's just gross. I hope no one went. That would just be the ultimate.
It's being sold out of trash bags. My goodness. And, you know, I think they're roasting him quite a bit today. And
I love it that he just said it word. I mean, please.
Yeah. Prince Charles told some politicians. He was at an Edinburgh Fringe event and he came over and he said, hello, nice to meet you all. I'm nowhere near how they portray me on Netflix. Get ready because season 5 is going to be real bad on you, Prince Charles. And Dominic West is playing you. See, I think he got hopeful. The young Charles, played by Josh Charles, was so good.
He was so good.
So
he showed his plight so bad, like this ignored child, grew up with nannies, had access to his mom.
Yeah, so the first two seasons, but I love that Charles is saying that. I mean, that's really pathetic. Gird your loins, Charles, because when season 5 comes up,
it's just a TV show.
Yeah, but the fact that he is saying that, it makes you know they're all watching it and talking about it.
Silly.
Oh, Lord.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk, where you can download our app, win great prizes, and we're always streaming, and we are on from 3 to 6, 7, Monday through Friday.